Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Crosby, the steal, and the score! Sir Sidney with a snipe! 3-1.
Crosby, a virtuoso goal last night. Evgeny Malkin looked damn good. Brazo in 7 game points. Most importantly, the Penguins have won 5. And lost 2, and they're passing the eye test. They're playing good hockey. Dan Muse, he unlocked something in these boys. And Artur Shelovs, he's steady enough in goal.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby, with his performance last night, 1,896 points, regular season and postseason combined, passing the great Mario Lemieux, who has 1,895 points in the regular season and in the postseason. Now, I wouldn't rule out Lemieux coming back and getting more. I mean, you just can't. You never know. I mean, he comes back into the ownership group. Maybe he'll get down there on the ice for some power play time. But Sidney Crosby, the all-time leading scorer postseason and regular season in Pittsburgh Penguins history. And I'll start right here. This is really fun. I like watching a good hockey team. It's been a while since we've watched a good hockey team. Can they keep this up? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I want them to keep it up. Sidney Crosby just broke what I had always thought would be an unbreakable record with this franchise. And I want to see that guy in the playoffs one more time. I want to see Evgeny Malkin in the playoffs one more time. There are only 19 defensemen in the history of the sport that have amassed 600 assists. Chris Letang did that feat last night. He's going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. His jersey's probably going to get retired one day. I want to see his ass in the postseason. Brian Rust, a big game player, has done so much for this franchise. I want to see him, damn it, in the postseason again. Gavin McKenna is so far off my mind right now, man. And if you're a Penguins fan out there that is rooting for them to be bad so that they can get a superstar, a top 5 pick, hey, I understand it, but how can you not enjoy the moment right now? And for me, it's far back in the reaches of my brain. I want this guy, in particular 87, to make the playoffs again, man. And I'll be pulling hard for him until they mathematically can't do that, because it's a lot more fun to be good than it is to suck ass. And we've dealt with that before with the X generation. I don't want to deal with it again with Sid. I don't. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. Get me there this year.
This whole hockey offseason, it was hard for me to wrap my mind around a guy like Sidney Crosby and guys like Letang and even Malkin, and being a part of a team, an organization that isn't good, like is trying to not be good and is rebuilding. I'm like, how can a guy like Sidney Crosby lace up his skates every single day and go on the ice and not raise a level of play as he has almost every year of his career with the regime that is in place now? How could that even be? Like, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. of him just being like, okay, well, I know where we're at. I know where we're trying to get. I know that things are different. I know that we have to rebuild, and we're not where we once were a few years ago. It just never sat with me. I just never understood it. And it's kind of showing now of why I didn't understand it. Like, I'd like to say that I was right in my mind. Like, Sidney Crosby's going to go out there and he's going to raise the level of play of anybody who he plays with. He's been doing it forever. He's one of the best hockey players ever. He's doing that right now. It doesn't matter what the regime is. It doesn't matter who the coach is. Sidney Crosby is going to put on that sweater every night, and he's going to play his best hockey.
Yes.
Or try to play his best hockey, and that will raise the level of play of everybody else. Like you said, like, I know that it's awesome right now to watch, and we don't know where this is going. We don't know where this is going to end up, but I know one thing. You're going to get 100% out of 87 every night.
And you're getting it out of Geno too, man.
And that's might be good enough, is what I'm trying to say. Now, it does matter a little bit where the system and a fresh face, a fresh voice. I think that matters a lot. And the buy-in. Clearly, these guys are bought into what Dan Muse is projecting. And whenever you have guys that have won and are going to be Hall of Famers that could still play and they're bought in, they're probably going to win, right? I mean, I think it's that black and white. I think it's that easy, that cut and dry. In my opinion.
I thought that it would probably keep them from being bad. I did not think it would have them at a point where they were actually good. And again, it's only 7 games, and they could fall on hard times real soon, and we can laugh at ourselves in a couple of weeks and go, man, remember when the Penguins were 5-2 and we thought they could be something?
But we didn't expect this.
No, a 5-2 start nobody saw coming. Nobody saw coming. And Evgeny Malkin looks as good as he's looked in a really long time. Now, he's got old legs, and we'll see if that can continue. I imagine it will continue for Sidney Crosby. But you infuse the young guys. Brunick made a hell of a defensive play getting stick on puck last night. That kid is impressive. Ben Kindle's done everything but score so far. Those guys need to remain with this club all season long. But the young guys have added an element of competition that, along with the new system and a new voice, I think has led them to get to 5-2.
Yeah.
That and, of course, the aged stars. But when you've got a lot of guys that are competing night in, night out to stay in the lineup, it matters.
Yeah.
And it matters as much in hockey as it does in any other sport. Like, effort is such a big thing. If you go out there and you play harder than the other team, it's evident.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to buy in. And they've bought in. Again, we'll see how far it takes them. The left side of their defense, I think, stinks, but they've played pretty well so far. The power play looked ugly, and then Novak's like, screw this screwing around. I'm just going to fire one into the top corner of the net here, and it sort of settled everything down last night. I just want to see this team win, and I think we, as a society, and Steelers fans get this better than maybe any fan base in sports save the Yankees, we are so enamored with ring culture that we can't even allow our minds to wander to a place where you can have a successful season if you don't win a championship. I think if the Penguins make the playoffs, it's a massively successful season. Others who are listening right now at 412-928-9370, and we'd love you to chime in, might say the only way you can have a successful season this year is if you get a top five draft pick. No, I think you can have successful seasons even if you don't win a championship. The 0-1 Penguins, they got Lemieux back. They wound up going to the Eastern Conference Final. They lost to the Devils, but they beat the Sabres with Darius Kasparaitis' goal. That's as fun a time as there could have been as a Penguins fan, save for winning a championship. The 0-1 Steelers went 13-3. I thought that was a pretty fun season. The 0-4 Steelers with Ben, they went 15-1. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They lost terribly in the AFC Championship game. I looked at that season as a success. You can have successful seasons, and this group has won enough. They've won 3 championships. They've won every individual award multiple times over that you could possibly win. They don't need to win another championship this year. It'd be great if they did. I don't think they will. But if they make the playoffs, to me, I'm dancing in the street, man, just to see Sid pull his sweater on one more time at PPG Paints Arena for a playoff game. That's worth it to me.
Well, I mean, it also says that you're closer than you thought, too, and you kind of created a foundation of what, you know, the process was going to be, but you just got there quicker, which is a hell of a sign, and it's a hell of an effort by the players and the coaching staff. By if you make the playoffs this year, your foundation is set, and you're like, okay, like we are way ahead of schedule. And don't and what's their cap situation next year?
They're gonna have $50 million in cap space.
So there you go. So how would it not be a successful season if you make it to the playoffs and you have $50 million to spend? You're like, okay, we're gonna add here, we're gonna add there, and then we're right back in this thing.
Yeah, because I don't think Dubas ever looked at this, and you just pieced together his public comments. I don't think he ever looked at this as an overhaul that needed to take multiple years.
Right. We kind of talked about that, but don't know if that's the vision of Dubas in the club, right?
I don't think, if you gave him truth serum, I don't think he wants this team to make the playoffs, obviously. I think because of what he said publicly, you don't want to just sneak in and not really be a contender. I don't think he wants them to make it, but I think, again, if you gave him truth serum, he would probably say that next year he thought they'd make it. So what's the difference?
Right.
Why not just make it this year? Because the reality is, if you're the worst team in the league, and with Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, and Carlson, and Rust, and Raquel, you're just not going to be the worst team in the league. Even if you're the worst team in the league, you only got a 25% chance of getting Gavin McKenna. So that means a 75% chance of getting somebody else. You're not going to be the worst. So the percentages are just tiny as hell to actually get that superstar who's going to change then the face of this franchise. Now, it's happened a couple of times before, 84 with Lemieux. It happened with Sidney Crosby. They barely had a shot at all to win the lottery to get Sid. It has happened, and that's how this franchise has always succeeded. But that's not the only way to succeed.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
You can build it up, and you can have a bunch of good players. You don't need to have the best player in the sport. I know that's shocking to people around here because that's all we've ever known, but that's not the only way to do this thing. I look at Florida and just top to bottom, they are built. I look at the LA Kings back when they were winning championships. Top to bottom, that was just a solid-ass hockey team. Tampa's got stars, but top to bottom when they were winning championships, solid-ass hockey team. You don't need to have the preeminent player in the sport to win championships. You don't. And that's okay. I would rather see Sidney Crosby make the playoffs one more time. It's Evgeny Malkin's swan song in all likelihood. I'd like to see him make the playoffs one more time. I'd like to, in the spring, be able to wear some cargo shorts and a damn penguin sweater and smoke a cigarette outside PPG Paints Arena like when I was 18 years old. I'd like the nostalgia element of that. Even if they don't win a playoff series, I want to see them do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so bad? I feel like I have to defend this point. Maybe I'm just arguing against myself. Give me a call. 412-928 9370.
I think people would take, how could you not take that? I just can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, what the situation would be like if you were a bottom team, like in everybody's eyes are, like you're saying, are set on McKenna and thinking that you would get McKenna if you're bad. Like, that's just not true. If it were true, then it's like, okay, then you have a case. But I think if you saw this team make the playoffs, how could you not be elated?
Especially a great point made by you. You got $50 million in cap space.
That's what I'm looking at.
Like $50 million.
Your foundation's set. If you make the playoffs this year, your foundation is set, and you could go spend and add to what that foundation is.
If
that's exactly what you're looking at.
Correct.
That's what you want.
If the Penguins had, or I'll rephrase it, if the worst team in hockey had a 100% chance of taking Gavin McKenna, then I would have traded Malkin this offseason.
Right.
I'd have traded Letang. Exactly. I'd have traded Carlson. I'd have traded Rust. I'd have traded Raquel. And I would put on the ice the worst hockey team in the history of the sport. But that's not the way it works. So I'd much rather them make the playoffs. Will they? It's too early to tell. You got a big test on Thursday against the defending champion Florida Panthers.
Well, I mean, have we seen this fast of a start in the last 3 years?
No.
Right, and you ask any hockey player, you ask Tyler Kennedy, like, that's where it's at. Like, you got to win those games out the gate. And so whenever you look back in the season, it's like, yeah, we took care of business early and put us in this situation. They never did that before, and that's why they always fell short by a game.
And you know what, Doran? I think this is when they need to make their, hey, a texter writes in, good points, but it's October, legs are fresh, travel and injuries haven't worn down the team. I'd like to see the playoff run for the old guard, but it's a long season. Everything you said is true. Stack points now, because is Malkin going to play at this level come March?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Probably not. Now, Letang is a freak of nature, so I don't know that his game is going to diminish. Sidney Crosby, same thing. I don't think his game is going to diminish. I mean, he seems to get hot down the stretch every single year. But Malkin in particular, you're getting the best version of him right now. You're probably going to get all season long. But if you have a tremendous October. These points count exactly the same now as they do at the end of the season. And come Thanksgiving, if they're playing at this level, if they've stacked points, that's when I'll finally go, okay, they should be a playoff team. And that's when you'll start to have the conversations, all right, should they be adding to this team? I'm cautiously optimistic. But when we get to Thanksgiving, that's generally when I start to think, okay, is this for real? Is this not for real? Because you'll have a bigger body of work. But it's not just that they're 5-2. You know, there's a ton of hockey people out there, analytics people out there that would tell you the Penguins' process has been very good. And boy, isn't it nice when your goaltender can make a key save every now and again.
Yeah, routine.
You don't need spectacular goaltending. You just need above-the-line goaltending. They did not get above-the-line goaltending last year. And congratulations to Dan Muse for having a good first 7 games. Keep it up.
Yes.
412-928-9370. Can you have a good season without winning a championship? Do you want to see the Penguins make the playoffs? I'll even tack this on. Do you want to see the Penguins make the playoffs even if you knew right now they would lose the playoff series? Because I would still sign up for that. What say you? 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, Crowley, it's 2025. Don't wear cargo shorts. They're so practical, though.
Yeah, and you wanted to act like it was 2016.
That's right. 2008, really.
2008, right.
I like wearing cargo shorts from time to time.
Yeah, be you.
Thank you. This is the kind of talk that gets us to be the number one radio station in the entire country.
Cargo, yep.
412-928-9370. Sidney Crosby, now the all-time leading scorer in Pittsburgh Penguins history in the postseason and regular season combined. We want to see that guy make the playoffs again to you. 412-928-9370.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Crosby the steal and the score! Sir Sidney with a snipe! 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's took me probably 500 more games, like I said, and, you know, been here for a long time and been fortunate to play with some great players, so that's how I look at it.
We took a 12-minute victory lap in the pre-show talking about how we won Major Market Station of the Year, Large Market Station of the Year, the Marconi Award. Sidney Crosby breaks a Mario Lemieux record. He is the Penguins' all-time leading point scorer postseason and regular season combined. And he's like, yeah, I play with great players. That took me a lot longer. Imagine if we did that. Be like, suck it, Mario. Yeah. We're so much better than you, man. Remember when I used to not pay you rent? I'd live in your house. Now look at me. I'm kicking your ass. What a humble guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see that guy in the playoffs again. I should have said this to start the show. Good to have Josh Getzoff back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Who, I guess, fainted on the road trip and is now back, and he sounded as good as he ever has. So good to have him back mm-hmm. because he's a hell of a nice guy, and he's very good at his job.
Yep.
We've asked you this question. Do you want the Penguins to make the playoffs? It's a simple question. We'd love to talk to you about it. 412-928-9370. It's also the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Do you think if the Penguins did make the playoffs and then lost in the first round, that they'd be inclined to crush the team? Oh, boy. If Dan Muse would have been tactfully, what's the word I'm trying to look for? If he'd have been a better tactician, there we go. This is the award-winning stuff right here, Dorn. If he'd have been a better tactician, they'd have won the series in six games instead of losing in seven. I don't think I could bring myself to do that.
No, you know there's people that are going to do that in the moment. Just, you got this far, why don't you win?
Just make the playoffs. They won three championships. I'd have signed in blood when they drafted Sidney Crosby. Three championships, yes or no? Hell yeah. Because guess what? Lemieux won two. Jágr won two. Sid's won three, damn it. He doesn't need to win another one. It'd be great. I think that's far-fetched. So just make the playoffs, and I'll be thrilled. Just so that in March and early April, man, the buzz that would be in this town, we haven't had that buzz for 3 years. It's the best. Every other game, breaking it all down, the hopes, the dreams, the sugar plums dancing in your head, give it to me one more time with this crew. Because next year, hey, maybe they do spend that $50 million bucks and Sidney Crosby plays an elite level and they do make the playoffs. But guess who's not going to be here? Gino.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see him and Sid do it again.
No doubt.
To the phones?
Yes.
To the phones, Rob in Chicago. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Mernon.
You know, I think the Penguins, you're going to learn a lot after Thursday. You know, if the Florida Panthers curb stomp them like they always do, they're going to have some work to do. But if they can get through the Panthers and look pretty decent, that may be a sign of things to come. I mean, the best thing about Dan Muse is he's actually getting Carlson to buy into the system, is where Carlson just did not fit with Sullivan. And they're playing within their capabilities. They're playing disciplined. And they're not playing like a bunch of cowboys just throwing the puck all over the place and then all of a sudden, you know, having to bleed to death from the turnovers.
I'm with Rob. And they played poor hockey, I thought, for like half the first period yesterday. And I was like, oh, man, this doesn't look all that good. And sometimes that'll happen after a long road trip, particularly on the West Coast. But then they buckled down, and it was nice to see. Like, we have seen in recent years, if you start bad, you ain't going to play a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And they buckled down, and they played a good game. Dan Muse is getting through to these guys. Again, it's early. And Thursday is a massive test. I mean, going on the road, you take on the defending Stanley Cup back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Yeah, it's a measuring stick game. But it's also October, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if they won the game. Stack points early, baby.
That's what it's about.
Should we go to Rhode Island and talk to Tony?
Sure.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show.
Hey, thank you, Tony. So does everybody. We're champions.
Yeah, you guys are great. So I'm watching the Penguins game last night on TV because obviously I live in Rhode Island. How come there was only 13,000 plus at the game last night?
Boy, dude, I didn't even check the attendance. It looked empty, man.
It looked like an exhibition game. I'm like, oh, come on. Are we really at this level already? Like, give these guys a chance. Like,
I think
it's still football season. I mean, it's in the middle of football season. It's very early. There wasn't that much hype around this team. But once they start winning and football starts to fade a little bit, then you'll see people show up.
If they're still good come Thanksgiving, we know that the Penguins, that night before Thanksgiving, that's always one of the most bumping crowds of the season. I bet you from that point forward, they'd be packing the barn if they're still good. Then I think people are itching to see it. I just think it's hard to buy in when the general manager doesn't want them to win. And we talked to Carlson. I mean, it's not like he had super high hopes for this team. Like he said, you got to block out the outside noise. That's code for we know we're supposed to suck. So if the team thinks that most people think they're supposed to suck, that's how the fans feel too. It was jarring to see that many empty seats, Tony. I'm not disagreeing with you, but if they're good come Thanksgiving, I think that'll turn around.
I hope so, because I'm just thinking long picture, like when Crosby eventually leaves, like, and say they're not good when he leaves, like, what is it going to be, back down to 10,000 again?
It would be. Like, it would be, yeah.
That's not good. That's not good. Sorry.
No, I'm with you on that. It's a bad look, and thank you for the call. The Italians were there last night. We got the Italians in from out of town. They went and took in their first hockey game.
Oh, nice.
They probably are like, man, is this like a minor league thing? There's not a lot of people here.
Nice. They have fun?
No idea. Can't speak the language.
No.
We're actually going to give them Fiori's tonight, and I'm nervous. because they're Italians.
Right.
They know pizza.
Yeah.
And they might think it sucks.
Right.
And I don't want them to think it sucks. I want them to like Pittsburgh.
They might like it. You never know.
They had Permanis the other day. I have no idea whether they liked that or not.
Probably did not.
Our guy Franco ate two.
Then he probably did.
Not sure about the Antonella. 13,685 people there last night, dude. Does that tell you that people aren't bought in? Does that tell you that people would rather them stink?
I think it's a situation where it's like, whenever you're good, we'll show up. Prove to us that you're good. We're not going to buy in yet.
You think Thanksgiving's like the turn? Like, if you're good, come then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Get a month?
Yeah, you get a month of good hockey under your belts.
Yep, people will show up.
And I don't think this division's very good. So I think 90 points can do it. I mean, you talk about some shootout losses last year, some games that you lost by one goal. I mean, it's not the biggest leap to think they could make the playoffs. It's really not. Rob in West Mifflin, good morning.
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man? Hey, I got a question for Doran real quick, man. Hey, Doran, I rolled over, man, and seen that clip. Is that real, man? Dude, what's his name, Harry Callis? He don't know none of them teams.
I mean, in his defense, yeah. Ball State? Come on.
I didn't know half of those teams either, to be honest with you.
Hey, Doran, he seen the Arizona State symbol and said Aquaman, man. How in the hell did he get this job, man?
Because he's great at a lot of other stuff. That's the other. Sorry, Rob. I'm going to cut you off there. Like, our videos are going viral left and right because Harry does a good job. The podcast numbers, the stream numbers. Harry does a lot of things behind the scenes, and that's a massive part of the job, too. Everyone's got different skill sets.
Well, he's a producer. I mean, if he was on air, you know, you can obviously have your thoughts, but he's doing his job behind the glass, what he's supposed to be doing, and that's be a producer.
And you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to talk about Ball State football on the early morning show.
Right. Or Arizona State. Or no. Wyoming.
No. Is Josh Allen there? No. Well, then who gives a rat's ass? People in Wyoming ain't going to Wyoming games. Everyone's got to relax. It was funny. It's content. Harry's a great sport about it. A lot of other people around here wouldn't be great sports about it. I'll probably leave that there. So, good for Harry. Because it takes some intestinal fortitude to put yourself out there that way.
I just have a feeling that there's going to be a time in the next, you know, by time, probably summer, by May, where Harry's going to know everything. And he's going to start getting us, and we're going to start looking dumb because he's going to know everything. I just know how he ticks. And I think deep down he's like, you know what? I'm going to learn absolutely everything about college football.
Well, also, he got a bunch right, and they left him out of the video. I'm just saying.
That is true.
He got a lot right. Got Harry's back. 412-928-9370. Only 13,000 plus at PPG Paints Arena last night. What the hell's that about for your 5-2 Penguins? 412-928-9370. You want to see this team make the playoffs? You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. When we come back, your calls on the Pens. Plus, Tomlin with a quote that pissed me off yesterday from his press conference that we have to address.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I was really appreciative of the effort. I thought the guys fought their tails off, man. We made some plays, certainly, on offense. Thought we had a necessary stop on defense there with about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game to give us another shot at it. You know, just as a collective, man, I thought they fought, particularly in less than ideal circumstances, but certainly we came up short, and there's some lessons to be learned from that.
That annoyed me. They got a necessary stop after that punt. That was a terrible decision to punt. So they got the necessary stop. The Bengals scored on 7 of their final 8 possessions. You know what I would consider a necessary stop? Stopping them at the end of the game.
Yes.
That's the necessary stop. And I hate, this is such a big pet peeve for me in professional sports. Oh, we fought to the bitter end. Am I supposed to pat you on the back for that? I'm supposed to expect Aaron Rodgers to not try to throw touchdown passes?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm supposed to expect Cam Hayward not to be out there battling his ass off? That drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's more of like, yeah, we fought to the bitter end because our opponent is on the same level and they're getting paid a lot of money too. So like every game is, I mean, you look around the NFL, there's so much parity, like,
sure,
all the time. And I think that, you know, sometimes you're on the other end of it. And, you know, they were on the other end. Listen, the first game of the year, they fell on the side of winning.
Yes.
And could you say that the Jets didn't fight to the end in that game?
They did.
Right. So, I mean, I think that that's what he's getting at. It's like, hey, listen, it's not like we didn't show up in the game.
Well, that is true. And we've seen them no show on Thursdays. Now, hey, a loss is a loss is a loss, but they did do that. They did get out of the gate quickly, and we haven't seen that on Thursdays. Usually it's the offense can't move the ball and they're scoring like 9 points. So that part is true. He also mentioned less than ideal circumstances. That drove me nuts. You know who had less than ideal circumstances? The Bengals. Because Joe Flacco was their starting quarterback, right, and they didn't have their best defensive player.
Yeah. What was their less ideal circumstance, the Steelers?
I guess playing on the road on a Thursday night? Come on, man.
Yeah, You had everybody was healthy.
The Bengals could have laid down when they were down 10-0.
Like, they could have laid down weeks ago.
Yes. That's the team that deserves credit for busting its ass when your quarterback goes down. You missed the playoffs last year when you had an MVP performance from that guy. He goes down. You could have easily folded. And they haven't. You know, they had some really bad games in there. You get Joe Flacco and you're competitive in the second half against Green Bay, and then you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a team that deserves to be commended for fighting through not ideal circumstances. But, oh my God, the Steelers had to play on a Thursday night. So did Cincinnati. Why'd it come out like that? It's award-winning stuff right there. 412-928-9370. Dick in Penn Hills. Hello.
Yeah. On the Pitt game, our freshman quarterback got something was wrong with his throwing arm, and he seemed to hurt it somehow. He stayed in the game, but I haven't heard anything about his availability.
He'll be fine, Dick. Thank you for the call. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he had a stinger.
He can be okay. A little stinger action. It's calls like that that had us as the number one.
Well, he called yesterday, and then he couldn't get through, and I heard
Syracuse.
Yes.
That's all we heard was right. Syracuse. So you have your answer there. Mason Heinchel should take the field against NC State. Or is it Syracuse on Saturday? Get it?
I get it.
412-928-9370. People also don't realize Harry's colorblind.
That's the first thing I thought of whenever the NC State thing came up. I was like, he literally thinks that's orange because I thought it looked like orange.
I think that one we let fly. We let slide, I guess. 412-928-9370. By the way, happy birthday to Donald J. Football, who is going to Naples for his birthday. He'll be there by 9:30, and he's been tasked with naming as many Steelers as he can, listing as many Steelers as he can in a 2.5-hour flight. Pony said he could get 100. That seems low to me.
That's very low.
Mulsey said he could get 300. That seems pretty high to me.
Yep.
So he set the over-under at 200.5.
Oh, man. 100 actually might be too hard.
That's a couple of 53-man rosters. I think you just name as many.
No, it's not a couple of 53-man because there's a lot of turnover.
You name the Killer Bees roster and you name the roster from 05, bang, you're done for 100. Easier said than done. 200's a lot.
That's a lot.
What a sick thing that they've tasked him with.
I trained in Naples. Nice place.
Nipples?
Naples. Yeah.
You told him to go to some martini joint?
Yeah, Blue Martini. Or if it's still there.
I've never had a martini in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Harry, you ever had a martini in your life?
I think so.
I could see you being a martini guy because you're not a big beer guy.
No.
What's a martini taste like? Olives? I friggin' hate olives. Green olives suck. Black olives suck. Olives disgust me. My daughter will just eat them.
It tastes like a salty like vodka.
I don't need salty vodka. I'll tell you what else doesn't appeal to me is the Bloody Mary.
No.
I don't need a savory alcohol drink. In fact, we were at the Grand Concourse this weekend. I got a Guinness for breakfast. Great breakfast beer.
Mm-hmm.
Mimosa's play, too.
Can you drink Guinness? Is it Guinness an all-around seasonal beer? Or like, would you have a Guinness in the summer?
For me, yes. I don't think for most people around here. It's a great fall beer.
Yes.
Great spring beer.
Yep. Winter, I mean, you could...
Great winter beer.
Yeah, I think summer is like where it's like, all right, take a break on the Guinness.
I don't think I would drink a beer unless it's I don't think I would drink a Guinness in the summer unless it was like unseasonably cool. I don't think I'd drink one outside. Now, yeah. In the basement, yes.
Okay.
But it's not a great outdoor 85-degree right. beer, no.
Gotcha.
I have a question about Tomlin that I actually think is new ground. Something we've never talked about before. Something I really haven't heard many other people talk about before. And I'm going to get to that coming up next. Also, your calls on the Penguins attendance. Someone wrote in, hey, it's a Tuesday in November. We got kids. We can't be spending all this money on the Penguins. Okay, fair enough. The Penguins at one point, though, did sell out 633 consecutive games. So people were going on Tuesdays in November. Now, they were contending for Stanley Cups. Believe me, I understand why they're not selling out, but 13,000 seems really low for me. 412-928-9370. Give us a ring on the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We cover new Tomlin ground next. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. I have a Tomlin topic that I don't think we've discussed before, which is tough because Mike Tomlin has been psychoanalyzed, picked apart for over a decade here locally and nationally. So we'll get to that coming up in a few moments. But if you missed our pre-show, 93.7 The Fan was named Large Market Radio Station of the Year. Got a Marconi Award. The highest honor in all of radio, Dorn. And I think it's because of moments like this. That's cool.
That's the cool thing that I took.
Congratulations
out of that.
To you and Sydney.
Yes.
And everybody who's on the list. By the way, I'm 33. Why am I not on the list?
I think this is for black people.
It's a pretty valid reason. That's pretty valid. I think that makes sense.
That was honest by you too. That was honest. I have tears in my eyes right now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So there you go, Dorn. Moments like that.
Yep.
It's award-winning right there.
It's honest, too. It's honest. Oh, man. Oh, that was funny.
All right. Ja'Marr Chase. Man. This is what he had to say after the Steelers lost to the Bengals.
Got a lot of man. He doubled on third down for real. Try to mix up it up a little bit, but they did exactly what we was expecting and hoping they'd do.
A lot of times, 3 points.
Oh, shut up, reporter. So, you heard that from Chase. They did what we were expecting them to do and what we were hoping that they would do. And you brought up Julian Edelman saying that the Steelers were predictable defensively. We get lists all the time. NFL top 100 player lists. You get the NFLPA stuff that comes out. Players. The coach that they'd most like to play for, Mike Tomlin. You know what we've never seen? I don't think, unless I've missed it. And if I've missed it, my bad, and you can text us at 412-928-9370. We haven't seen the anonymous list of coaches evaluated by other coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have never seen, well, we polled all the coaches in the NFL and asked them who the top head coach in the NFL is, unless I've missed it. And I do wonder, like, from a culture-setting standpoint, I think coaches around the NFL would have a lot of praise for Tomlin. I do wonder how coaches view Mike Tomlin, the X's and O's
guy. Yeah, like in-game.
Yeah. Like, if they fear Mike Tomlin the way that everybody you knew feared Bill Belichick, the way that I'm sure people fear Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and some of these quote-unquote geniuses out there, the way people fear a Spagnuolo defense or fear a, I don't know, name a defensive coordinator. Defense. Dick LeBeau back in the day.
Yeah.
Or Vic Fangio for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think if you polled anonymously all the coaches in the NFL and said, who are the best tacticians in the NFL? I don't know that Mike Tomlin is in the top five, top 10 on that list if you polled other coaches.
That's a good point. I mean, I think the Steelers were feared for generations because of the style of play.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily the coaching. Now, LeBeau, I think he trumps that. I think he's that one coach where it was like, all right, like, and I know for a fact, I remember playing the Steelers and you didn't know where or who was who. Like, it was very confusing. I think he does trump that. But I think all in all, whenever teams played the Steelers in the last 60 plus years, it was because of the physical brand of football that you had to endure when you played the Steelers, and especially coming to Pittsburgh. That's where I think that the fear probably struck other teams. But I think tacticians as coaches, as head coaches, I mean, was Cowher a tactician? Like, what if he was pulled back in the day? I don't think that people would be like, oh, yeah, like, he's going to scheme it up and we got to change everything. Like,
and even Chuck Knoll, I mean, they were going to run cover two. And their front four was going to get after you.
Beat the heck out of you.
Exactly right, dude.
That was it.
Exactly right.
So
there's many different ways.
But what I'm trying to say is that that's not the case now. I don't think anybody's fears Mike Tomlin because of the tactician element of it and the physical element, because you're not getting the you-know-what beat out of you when you play the Steelers anymore.
No. I don't think anybody goes, oh, man.
Right.
We are going to get confused out there. Like, Brian Flores. You play Flores. He does some weird stuff. You see what he did with the tush push the other day. He does innovative stuff. I'm not seeing any innovation. Now, I was pleased up until this Bengals game how much they were blitzing relative to last year, how much they were blitzing relative to the rest of the league. They're not doing anything special, though. Like, you know where TJ's going to line up every play. You knew where Minkah Fitzpatrick was going to line up every play. You didn't know that with Troy Polamalu. Now, some of that was LeBeau. Most of that was just Troy being Troy. You also knew where James Harrison was going to be every play. But they would do all kind of fire zone stuff and the advent of the zone blitz. I just wonder if we got one of these anonymous lists, but it was coaches critiquing coaches, if they would view Tomlin the same way that, like, the national media views Tomlin.
He wouldn't be in the top 10.
I don't think so.
I mean, you're talking about coaches like McVay. You're talking about the Kyle Shanahans of the world. I mean,
even LaFleur.
LaFleur. You know, Vrabel.
I don't think that anybody fears the Steelers schematically. Mm-mm. You know you got to stop Watt. You know they got great players on defense. You know they got Aaron Rodgers. But schematically, I don't think people go, oh, man, we're kept up at night because we don't know what's coming. I think you know what's coming.
But I feel the same way about Harbaugh, John Harbaugh.
Absolutely too. Agree with that.
I don't think people fear him. They fear Lamar.
Now, that being said, they went from Flacco to Lamar, changed their offense. They fired their offensive coordinator midseason on their route to the Flacco Super Bowl. Like, he's taken some chances, and boy, on the fly, like, they didn't lose when Lamar came in. Now, a lot of that has to do with Lamar, but they did overhaul the offense in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll even give him more schematic credit than I'll give Mike Tomlin. And I don't want to do the whole he's a cheerleader thing, because I think that undersells him significantly, because when you talk about culture, Mike Tomlin, they haven't had a losing season since he's been the head coach. There is, as much as we all scoff at that, there is something to the cultural aspect of it. Like, never giving up on a season.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff does matter.
For sure.
If you talked about culture setters in the NFL, I bet you coaches around the league would give him a ton of credit.
Yes.
But when it comes to schematically being afraid of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think he's in the top 10. And he might not be in the top half of the league.
Like, you think somebody in, like, what, a month or whatever, a few weeks, you think somebody like Ben Johnson's worried about Mike Tomlin?
No. And I don't think LaFleur is, and I don't think Steichen is. Steichen puts him in a blender exactly. Every time that they play. Every time that they play, Steichen gets the better of Mike Tomlin. And it looks UGLY ugly. 412-928-9370, your comments on 928-9370. I will give credit to another Steelers coach coming up next. A former Steelers quarterback went completely out of character on social media yesterday, and we will relate that to the current club. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.